Right now, today, on Capitol Hill, Porter Goss made his debut as the head of the CIA after resigning from Congress last year to take the position. He joined the heads of the FBI, Defense Intelligence Agency, in an open hearing by the Senate Intelligence Committee on current and potential global threats to the U.S. Goss was succinct in his analysis.
I'd make 4 points. Al-Qaeda is intent on finding ways to circumvent U.S. security enhancements to strike Americans in the homeland. One. Number two, it may be only a matter of time before Al-Qaeda or other group attempt to use chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear weapons. We must focus on that. Three, Al-Qaeda is only one facet of the threat from a broader Sunni jihadist movement. And four, the Iraq conflict, while not a cause of extremism, has become a cause for extremists.
CIA Director Porter Goss, we are joined now by Larry Johnson, CEO of Berg Associates and a former CIA analyst. He joins us from Berg's headquarters in Bethesda, Maryland. Larry Johnson, welcome.
Frank, how are you?
Well, I don't know. How should I be? A matter of time before an attempted attack by weapons of mass destruction. You tell me.
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's called bureaucratic safe analysis, that you make the most dire prediction possible, and no matter what happens, you're not going to be blamed. So if they make that prediction and something happens, they can always say, see, we told you so. They make that prediction, nothing happens, nobody's going to care.
Well, did they base that on information? Because if you and I are sitting around having coffee, we probably make the same assessment. But I'm assuming that they have better information.
Well, no, I don't think they're basing it on any information per se. In fact, I'm privy to some of what they've been looking at. And I would say this. The United States has shifted significant intelligence resources away from the hunt for Osama bin Laden and Ayman Zawahiri, two of the key leaders in Al-Qaeda. Those intelligence assets have been shifted to Iraq because of the insurgency on the ground. As a result, the hunt for the remnants of the Al-Qaeda leadership is somewhat on hold.
Well, does that suggest that the insurgency and Al-Qaeda are not very closely related?
No, they're not related. They do have some crossovers. But the insurgency in Iraq has more to do with Iraqis not wanting U.S. or Western forces in Iraq, and while the Al-Qaeda effort continues independently. And I think, not to be overly critical of Director Goss, but the fact of the matter is Congress should not accept a director of Central Intelligence coming up and saying it's inevitable. Because if it's inevitable, then we have to say, well, then why are we spending so much money on intelligence? I don't think it's inevitable. I think there's a lot that we can do that we're not doing that can go a long ways towards capturing, interdicting, and destroying these networks.
Well, before I get to what we can do, it also raises another question, and that is, what was Afghanistan and Iraq all about if it is still inevitable?
Pardon me, I didn't hear the last
one. What was Afghanistan and Iraq all about if the threat from Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups is still inevitable?
Well, we went into Afghanistan clearly to go after the Al-Qaeda network and the Taliban regime, which was supporting and sustaining them and helping mm-hmm. them continue to exist. The initial success on that has been squandered, and I think it's very clear that the success that the U.S. forces have had in the past has not been matched over the last year in getting in and rooting out. And frankly, part of the problem is what's left of the Al-Qaeda remnants is hiding out in Pakistan. And Pakistan, while on the one hand being a very helpful ally to the United States, nonetheless, there are elements in the government of Pervez Musharraf that are protecting and granting safe haven to these Al-Qaeda elements. As long as that element exists, yes, Porter Goss is correct. They're a threat. They do want to do us harm, but I don't think we need to respond to that by doing nothing. I think with aggressive counterterrorism efforts, we can go out and prevent that.
So describe those in detail. I mean, what does that mean?
What does what mean?
What aggressive counterterrorism efforts? It strikes many Americans, I would guess, that that's precisely what's happening around the world today.
No, in fact, that's not what's happening over in Afghanistan. I know I've been told, for example, by friends in the community that the Predator drones that were available to U.S. forces in Afghanistan were, in fact, withdrawn from Afghanistan, shifted to Iraq during the run-up to the elections, and that, in fact, they have not been replenished. What that means is that the U.S. forces who rely upon those drones as their eyes and ears to go into areas where you can't necessarily send troops are effectively blind, to be able to get into some of the restricted areas in Pakistan. That's also not happening. And those restricted areas are where it is believed that Osama bin Laden and Ayman Zawahiri, his number two, are being protected.
Well, the Intelligence Committee today also talked about recent news reports about Defense Secretary Rumsfeld's creation of a new intelligence gathering operation, or several within the Pentagon. Director Ross had a forceful response. Let's listen to that.
It is quite clear to me that there has been a lot of speculation and rumor and so forth and comment in the paper which is unfounded or badly founded. The truth is that I believe that the efforts that the Department of Defense is trying to undertake are entirely appropriate. They are looking forward to the best ways to get the information they need to accomplish their objectives with the maximum protection for their warfighters. I think that is excellent. What it involves is some coordination overseas and some understanding about who's doing what where.
So that's Porter Goss, and he's talking about Pentagon's intelligence efforts. Does that match what you're hearing?
Yes. A year ago, there were some real problems in Afghanistan, for example, between the CIA and the Department of Defense, the U.S. military units operating. They were not working and playing well together. More recently, friends of mine that have come back from that area report, it's a new day. A lot of it's personality-driven, but the fact of the matter, at least from an Afghanistan standpoint, there is better cooperation working together between CIA and Department of Defense. What you've seen with these Department of Defense units, the strategic support branch that have been described in the paper, really reflects that the pressure the Department of Defense and the military commands are under to provide intelligence to field commanders, not having sufficient resources, going out and expanding the effort. I know that, for example, several operators within the special operations community complained to reporters who wrote these stories that the strategic support branch was sending people who were unqualified or undertrained out to the field. I think that is a legitimate complaint. But as far as it being necessarily that the Department of Defense is trying to run roughshod over CIA, I don't think really that has been the case.
Well, and in terms of resources, the president has charged Goss with significantly increasing the number of operatives and analysts at the CIA. Is that going to be hard to do?
It will be hard, and I think it's really they ought to look first at why has the CIA not been able to keep and retain case officers and analysts who the U.S. taxpayer on average spends about $250,000 to train. I'm aware of, in fact, about 8 different women who have left the agency within the last 2 years. And I just run across them in, happenstance. I don't know why it's inordinately women, but I also know 2 people that I was trained with who are case officers who are coming upon, this is their 20th year in, they're both getting out. They've met the minimum requirements, which are you're 50 years age or older, you spent 5 years overseas, and you have 20 years in. These people have the kind of experience and resource knowledge that ought to be treasured and kept in the CIA. But instead, their dissatisfaction with some of the work environment, they're getting out as fast as they can.
That's at the mid-level, and certainly there have been some high-level officers who have left the CIA, either have been fired or have left. That's
right.
Made the news. What's going on?
Well, I think in the case of Jamie Misick, who was the director of intelligence at the CIA, I think, in fact, that was probably appropriate to ask for her resignation because there was some real mixed signals sent from the Directorate of Intelligence in the lead-up to the war in Iraq. So I don't think that was necessarily what you could call a political purge. I think, in fact, it was a move in the right direction to suggest that senior managers would now be held accountable for what are egregious policy failures or intelligence failures. That's something that, candidly, in the past has not occurred. What I've heard from friends who are on the inside still, they're overall fairly complimentary of what Porter Goss has been doing. There was some initial trepidation that he was going to come in and wreak political havoc and purge people according to politics. But overall, apart from some of his staffers who have gone with him, who were previous case officers who left and had some grievances with other case officers in the European division, more often than not, what they're perceived as bringing some important changes to CIA that, if allowed to work, will probably be positive.
So this is our first public look at Porter Goss in his new role as CIA director. What did you think?
I thought he did a credible job, but I think it's unfortunate that he adopts for, you know, I'm not calling him a coward, but I think it is cowardly analysis to say this is inevitable, they're going to do it no matter what we do. I don't think it's inevitable as far as terrorist attacks, because I think there's a lot we can do to preempt and disrupt and destroy those elements, and I think we ought to be doing that.
Thanks very much for joining us. Larry Johnson, a former CIA analyst and CEO of the security firm Berg Associates. He spoke with us from his offices in Bethesda, Maryland.